Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, it's time for coffee, and I'm so glad that you're here. Today, we are talking about one of my very favorite topics, books. Even more than that, fiction books. I love reading, and I love talking to authors who write fiction because it's always so fun. I mean, their creativity and their storytelling and their talent just blows me away. I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, T.I. Lowe. T.I. is an incredible author, and her new book, Under the Magnolias, just came out. And today we are talking all about it. I'm also so excited to share that Under the Magnolias is our It's Time to Read book club pick for May. And how cool is it that T.I. agreed to come hang out with us for book club so that we could chat all about her new book together. I'm so excited, and we will spend the month reading this book, and then at the end of the month, we'll meet via Zoom to discuss our thoughts. It's just going to be really fun, really unique. I'm excited about it. So, do you want to join us for book club? There will be a link in the description of the show, or you can go to the Instagram link in my bio. Might be the easiest way if you just go to my Instagram, at Jeanette Tapley, and then hit the link in my bio, and it'll have a pop-up to sign up for book club. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be so fun. So, friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited you're sitting down with a new friend. We are here to talk all about books, and I'm so excited because if you guys know anything about me, you know that I love books. So, T.I. Lowe, how are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. I had to think as I said your last name because we just chuckled about it. I'm like, Lowe. Okay. I'm so excited you're sitting down with you because you are a 17-time author, and we're going to talk all about that, and that just blows my mind. That's so many stories to write. So many stories.
I was telling someone, I have the best job in the world. I get to daydream and storytell for a living. I mean, so you can't beat it.
That's so true. That's so good. First, what's in your cup?
Well, hello. What's the name of your podcast?
I hope you have coffee. Yes.
That's so good. I've got some good coffee too. This was from, it's called District 10 Roasters, and it's local. It's right down the road from me. And so anytime I can support a local business, you know, right now we're definitely trying to do that. And it's great coffee, so why not?
That's awesome. That's a good
good dark roast coffee. Mm. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm drinking coffee, it cannot taste like hot water. It has to taste like coffee. So
yeah. Do you do cream or sugar or anything?
This has sugar-free coconut creamer in it.
Okay.
Trying to behave.
Yeah, I get you. I just want it to taste delicious. That's
so
all.
What do you put in yours?
Mine is the sweet cream almond milk creamer, I think.
You like the almond milk ones?
I do. I prefer coconut milk sometimes, but it's been a little bit harder to get. And if I'm making a fancy coffee, I can drink milk. I just prefer not to. If I'm drinking delicious coffee, like if I'm making a nice coffee, I'll use oat milk. Because that's like, it's like the joy of... like half and half because it's like thick, but it's not half and half. So that will hurt my stomach, but oat milk won't.
Yeah. Well, I'll try that. I haven't tried the oat milk yet. I've heard the cashew milk's good too.
Oh, I haven't tried the cashew milk. See, I mean, why don't we just like milk? That's kind of what I go back to every once in a while. Poor milk. Oh gosh. Okay. So when you're out and about though, what is your coffee order?
It's normally iced coffee.
Okay.
Because I live in South Carolina, it's always hot here. Yeah. Yesterday it was 80s, and today I think it's 50, so we like to fluctuate, but normally it's going to be a cold iced coffee. Yeah. And I don't have to go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donut. I mean, I'll go to those, but I'm not a snob. I'll go wherever.
That's
And
awesome.
I do like to try the little coffee shops because to me, they always have the best coffee. But yeah.
They do. The little hole in the wall sometimes have the best. We were in Colorado around Thanksgiving, and we went to this little shop, and my husband got like a, it was called like a honey badger coffee, and it had cayenne pepper in the grounds, like when they pulled the shots, and it was so interesting. Like, who thinks of that stuff? Not, I mean, maybe Starbucks does, but I don't think Starbucks does.
Now, I've put cinnamon in the basket before. I've brewed my coffee before,
yeah,
so that's good, but I've not tried cayenne.
It's just a teensy bit, and then honey as like the sweetener with like regular milk or whatever. It's interesting. It's just like a little, like, it's really interesting. It's not something I would go to all the time, but like, oh, that's a good special drink.
Sound like me with hot tea. I've never done much hot tea. I mean, because we're in the South, you know, we're gonna have iced tea in our glass.
Yeah.
No, preferably syrupy sweet. But I wrote a character a while back, and her go-to drink was hot tea. And so I did that for a while, and it weren't bad. I enjoyed it.
That's awesome.
I did the chai tea because I liked spicy. It had to be strong. Mm-hmm. And I would do two tea bags. But while I was writing that character, I sipped tea.
That's so fun. Oh, I want – okay, we're going to dive into that because that is so interesting to me because I am not – I have to rephrase this because I don't want to speak like down to myself. I don't view myself as a creative person storytelling. I can tell you like what God's doing in my life, or I can explain the Bible or stuff like that. But when it comes down to like, this is what she said, this is what he said, and here's the driving of the story, I'm like, she said yes, he said no. The end. I'm like, no, that's not how to tell a story. And God has not put it on my heart to write a fiction novel at all. But it's such a different part of the brain. And for you to have done this 17 times, mm-hmm. I don't even understand that.
I don't either.
I love that. Okay.
I'll get to the one book and I'm like, okay, is God going to give me anything else? Mm. Am I done? Is my well dry now? And then It's always I like to journal books, and I think that helps me get to know my characters better.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, there's a new journal and a new story coming about, and I guess I like the whole storytelling. I get to make it up too.
So fun. And so I told you earlier, I finished Under the Magnolias a couple weeks ago, and it is a story that has stayed with me. It's really, really sweet. But it's also really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so where did, like, you said you kind of pulled out a journal and started writing. Where did this story come from?
Well, I want to say it was the spring and summer of 2019.
Okay.
Because as soon as it hit me, it was like, next thing I knew, I had to write it. It was just no holding back. But every time it seemed to me, and I'm probably exaggerating, and you'll know with a fiction writer, is we tend to exaggerate. But to me, it felt like every time I would pull up social media or the news accounts online to check what was going on, the headlines always posted about a community leader, and a lot of times it was a church leader committing suicide.
Mm.
And it was heavy on my heart, and I'm like, God, what brought them to a point where they didn't think they could seek help? You know, what got to be so to the point where they felt like suicide was their only choice? And so I started journaling. I started looking up, reading those stories of those pastors. And then I did, it's not PureFlix, it's another site that a friend of mine's church uses. And it's all about different topics. And one was about bipolar and, you know, mental health and how different church leaders were, you know, it was their testimony. And then it was the family's testimony, because some of them didn't make it past suicide. And it was the whole thing. They didn't feel like, you know, they were at they were the leaders, and they didn't feel like they could step out and show a weakness or show that they were one of their struggles, because they, you know, they needed to be that strong support for either their church family, their community. And it just blossomed from there. I didn't even, and when I read those stories, I didn't even think about bipolar
mm-hmm.
until more research come about, and it was just Dave was going to be bipolar.
Oh man,
So.
it's so fascinating, and I love that all the children in the book have city names. I think that's just so clever, and I just loved it. There's so much creativity there. But one thing you don't know about me is I'm a pastor's kid. And so being raised in the church that way, and I know that the church that Dave was pastor of wasn't like a traditional church setting, but it was a gathering of people who felt left out, who felt like they needed a home, and he was their leader, and he was struggling. And the book starts out really, really heavy with loss, and then these kids are kind of left to fend for themselves in a really big way. Was it hard for you to write that heaviness?
It was. I remember, and I hope through the story people will realize they have to take care of their mental health too. And that means talking about it. And there were some really heavy days where, I would leave my computer and I would just be broken inside as well. And I recall I run in the mornings, even though I don't look it.
Stop that.
But my running partner, she's also my mentor. And if you look at the beginning of the book, it's actually dedicated to her because she was the one pushing me, write this. And one of the big things, I'm going to get off topic, but have you ever heard that saying, dance like no one's watching? I went into this book to, I wrote it like no one was reading it. There was no contracts on it. There was no expectations. I was just going to write it. And it was a very raw, book to write. And I recall one morning I was running with her and I was telling her the day before how heavy it was. And she said, today you need to step away from it. Don't go in your office, find something else to do. She says, you got to take care of you in the middle of writing this. And it was so true because I'm empathetic to things going on. When I don't understand them, I work them out through my writing. Lulu's Cafe was about domestic abuse. And I didn't understand it because God's blessed me with this man of 24 years, and he's a gentle man, and he doesn't raise his voice. And I recall my mom telling me, she says, Tanya, you won't understand a woman going through domestic abuse unless you've walked in her shoes. So, and then the whole mental health, I've dealt with depression, anxiety attacks in my younger adult years, but nothing as severe as bipolar. And so this the whole process was me trying to understand what Dave went through, as well as the family, because the families live those symptoms too. They may not have the disease, but they have the symptoms. They deal with the symptoms too. So pretty heavy day.
Especially like you're saying, as they live the symptoms, especially as a family with one parent, essentially. And the oldest daughter steps up and is a parent in a lot of ways, and she has to then learn to care for her mental health, which is something she doesn't really realize until later on in the book. Again, these are very real people. It stayed with me. It was so good. Man, it just blows me away, and I can only imagine how heavy that was to kind of process that through and to kind of lean into those characters, but then step out into reality in some ways. How did you take care of yourself and your mental health during that? Like running was probably a big one for you. Stepping back and not working, I'm sure, is a big one for you. But what else did you do to like really care for your mental health during that time?
I expressed it through the book some. Me, I don't, I'm not a crier. That was one of the things I brought from my personal life to Austin. Austin reached a point where she had put up so many walls because she's trying to keep everything together. She's the one that has to make sure that facade of the foster family, everything's fine. It's one of those deals where you're walking around with your arm cut off, waving your arm. Everything's fine. We're fine here. Nothing to see. That was Austin's job. And she put a lot of walls up between her and her emotions. And I do that. I cannot cry in public. It's a thing where it's either the shower or if I'm in a car by myself. And a lot of times to deal with it, I can't deal with it that way. I crack jokes. I not crack them at the right time. I mean, I'm not saying I deliver them when they should be delivered. But, I even tried to put that in the book, like Morty with the scene at the funeral home. I laugh while I was writing that. And
That's
then a
funny.
lot of times, Phoenix, he said things that cracked me up because, you know, it was at a point where things were too tense, where he got a hold of the guy that was trying, being racist and
Yeah.
towards Foxy. So he says things that we all want to say.
Yeah.
So that to me, that's a comic relief part, and I think you have to laugh. Definitely have to laugh.
Agree. I got in trouble. I have a 12-year-old son. Yeah, he's 12. And he was really upset last night. We were trying to find something and we can't find it. And I was kind of like, well, I don't know what to do. And he got really upset and was like yell crying. Well, his voice is changing. And so this little boy in my vision, like this little boy is like breaking down crying, but he sounds like a bigger man. And I just started laughing. And he's like, this is not funny. And I was like, I know, I'm so sorry. But like, you don't sound like you sound different. And he's like, oh, mom, you're being so mean. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to laugh at your pain. I can't look at you. I can't like put these two things together right now. I'm so sorry. And he's like, you're so mean to me. I was like, I'm so sorry. So I had to like really apologize later. But I was like, man, it was like, it was a heavy moment. And it wasn't like nothing was falling down around us, but it was like he was feeling so many emotions. And it was not a good time for mom to break down laughing, but I did. Then it was bad mom moment.
That
Did you always want to write? Like, is this something that you dreamt of as a little girl?
would be me. I did, and no one ever told me I couldn't, but no one ever told me I could either, kind of deal. I grew up in a family where my mom and dad, it was constant separation, getting back together, separation, get back together. They eventually divorced year after I graduated high school. And so it was like, you know, that was kind of our focus, whatever was going on. I'm in a little farming town. My first job was on a tobacco farm. So I just didn't think a country girl in a teeny tiny town could be a writer. It just seemed too big to grasp. So I would secretly write in notebooks, and that started in middle school. What my the book series I loved in middle school was the Sweet Valley High
Oh,
series.
yeah.
I mean, that was my go-to. And I remember thinking, I was like, I can write this. So I actually wrote one where kids go to camp, and of course, you know, the sweet little love story in there. And I wish I would have kept those, but sometime during the whole process of growing up, they ended up being tossed, and I just put that away. And then I got married, 21, and then my new goals switched and changed, and I wanted to be a full-time mom. And we prayed about it, and God granted it that could happen. So 25, I had my first baby, Nathan, and then 5 years after that, I think we have something with the number 5. And Lydia was born. So I dedicated all of their school years to being full-time mom. And I would write like church plays, or I would write poems and share them with the church, stuff like that. But nothing, that was as much as I pursued it. And then my mom got sick. Well, I have to tell you. So my daughter, Lydia, was starting kindergarten. And she said, now, and I was home all this time with them. And she says, well, now that you've grown up, Mama, what are you going to
Oh, so cute.
do? That's how my kindergartner,
Yeah.
he's a freshman in high school now, but that's how she worded it. And I prayed about it. I didn't know. I had started a degree in psychology, and I didn't finish it. And so I was toying with the idea, should I go and finish that degree, or should I maybe substitute teach? That way I could stay on Nathan and Lydia's school schedule. You know, the best job, the best gift I ever had was raising my babies. And so it was like God wasn't answering me. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? I can't just sit here twiddling my thumbs. And a month after Lydia started kindergarten, my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer. So God said, God had taken care of it. I was going to help be her caregiver.
Yeah.
And we did that for the next 2 years. And through that process, we had a loved one. Who was she was in an abusive relationship. We gave her outs. We told her, you know, there was times where we'd call the cops. We'd tell her that she could come stay with us. we'd help her get out, but she wouldn't, and I couldn't understand it. So, I mean, we were sitting in chemo lab, and I'd be pouring my heart out. I'm like, Mama, I don't understand how we can help her. And that's when she told me you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so a creative outlet during that time was I started writing Lulu's Cafe, and I would share it with her. And all through that, she said, you've got to share this, you know. And I remember the hospice nurses coming in, and she would tell them, this is my daughter, Tanya. She's a writer.
Oh,
she's an
so
author.
Sweet.
I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. But, and then she's like, you promised me you're going to share this book one day. And I told her I would. And then she passed away 2013 in September. And then January of 2014, I had this promise I had to keep her. Mm-hmm. And so I self-published Lulu's Cafe. And then it started from there. And then, you know, the next... You know, we're going on seven years now, but halfway through it, I ended up finding an agent, and then I've done traditional publishing ever since. So
that's awesome. How many books did you self-publish?
I did 13.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then my agent, we did a proposal for the Carolina Coast series that we shared with Tyndale House. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, now, what about any of my self-published? She says, well, in this market, you really don't republish something that's already been published. She says, so let's, you know, that's probably not something that's going to happen. Well, Tyndale House came back and they said they wanted Lulu's Cafe, the very first one they wrote.
So, what a sweet gift.
If it's in God's will, it's going to happen. And my prayer through this whole thing of writing is just don't let me get in the way of it. Because I feel like he's got, you know, big plans for me. Just, you know, a country girl, uneducated. I just like to tell stories. And I don't know why he's given me this gift, but I'm going to use it for his glory.
Man, amen. I just wrote down, just don't let me get in the way. Like,
yeah.
Is that just like the best thing that we can pray every day? Just don't let me get in the way. Like, do your will. Just don't let me get in the way. I'll be your hands and feet, but just like, don't let me trip over myself.
Oh my gosh. So there's been times I have tripped. And then when I actually sat down to start writing Under the Magnolia, I just felt so, this was such a heavy burden of a book. And then every day it was a prayer for him. I'm like, you know, me and God wrote this book. It was never Tanya. I mean, it was really, you know, and I was like, every day it was like, give me what you want me to write today. Don't let me get in the way of it.
Yeah.
And the thing about writing fiction is you need your side characters, but you can't get carried away with them because it distracts.
Yeah.
And I felt like when I got done with it, I was scared to share it because I'm like, they're going to say there's too many characters because, you know, the church.
All the kids,
and
yeah,
I felt
and the
like
church.
One of them were so important to the story. And they came back. They said, no, we want it as is.
Mm, I love so that.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
Hey, I want to take a break from the episode really quick to remind you about a book I wrote. Do you ever feel like you're alone? Do you feel that God is so big and so far away? Do you feel like to follow God or God's will for your life, you have to change everything about yourself? My hope is that my book, It's Time for Jesus, will meet you right where you're at. That you will see God as a friend and that you will see him as someone who cares so deeply for you. It's Time for Jesus, the 30-day devotional all about believing the truth of who you are, right where you are, is available now on Amazon. And now back to the episode. Who is an author that you look up to? Like, who's somebody that like does this well that you like, I don't want to say follow, but like who you look up to?
Yeah. Definitely Francine Rivers.
Oh, man. The GOAT.
I know. And I mean, we can go all the way back to where that began. Mm-hmm. I remember the summer that everyone was saying, you need an agent. You need to keep writing. We want you to keep writing it because Lulu was going to be a one-time thing. And I was, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. But then everyone come out the woodwork. You know, not everyone, but, you know. I'm an author. I can exaggerate.
Right.
Everyone said, write more. And then I'm like, oh. I'm new. You know, I just kind of, someone asked me, how did I come into the writing world? I tripped. I fell flat on my face into it. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was doing. So there was a lot of learning curves in it. And so I reached out to an agent, and that whole process of trying to find an agent was a job in itself. And I sent out several, but this one agent that I felt like was a good fit, she represented Francine Rivers. And a friend of mine had just given me Redeeming Love that summer to read, and I hadn't read it yet. And then that agent called, and you know, we got to talking, and she says, well, you know, send me something, let me look over it, and we'll get back to you. So while I was waiting, I read Redeeming Love, and that book just opened up so many doors. She gave me as a Christian writer the permission to go farther into the story than what I thought the Christian writer could do, because I think Christian fiction is the hardest genre to write for, because we have, you know, you have to be careful. And there's not as much freedom in writing, and that was what I thought. But after reading Francine, I realized it didn't have to be that way. I could just write it from the heart and it'd be okay. And I got to the last page of that book, and I still hadn't heard from the agent. Last page of that book, the two different couples in the end had children, and the children's name was Nathan, and the other child for the other couple was Lydia. Those are my children. I'm like, it's a done deal. You know, this is a God wink. You know, this is going to happen. This woman's going to call me up. We're signing. And probably about a month later, she called up and said no.
Oh, no.
God, you showed me. You showed me in Francine. This was going to happen. And then it was probably, but she told me to keep in touch. And I did. And probably 2 years after that, she signed me.
That's sweet.
And then, so Francine's endorsed Lulu's Cafe, and she endorsed Under the Magnolias. And it's amazing, because she's like, I really look up to her. And then she's reading my words, and it just blows my mind.
She's amazing.
But sure. Yeah. Francine Rivers.
For Christmas a couple years ago, my husband bought me a first edition Redeeming Love.
Oh.
So, like, if people don't know, Francine Rivers wrote Harlequin novels. Like, she wrote, my mom would call them, smut books.
The bodice ripping books.
My mom read all of those books. Sorry to out you, Mom. But she did. And, so those were the books that Francine was, that was a publishing house that she was under early, became a believer and wrote Redeeming Love after becoming a believer. So it was kind of in this like heart process of like this redemption story, but then just continued to edit away a little bit of the Harlequin novel part of it, but kept some steamy stuff. And that is the Redeeming Love that we now know and read. But I can't read the first edition. Like, I just can't, because it's not the Redeeming Love I read in high school. You know what I mean? Like, I read it. I had mono in high school, which sounds like I might have been doing smut stuff, but I wasn't. I just got sick. I read it in high school, and it was my mom's favorite book. So she was like, yeah, sure, read this book. And so I have a couple different editions of that book that I hold on to, because every time I buy a new copy of that book, I end up giving it away.
Yeah.
I just keep passing it on and I never get it back, which is fine. I don't care about that. But yeah, so I just can't read the original because it's so different than what I read.
So I'm looking forward to the movie.
Me too. Me too. It's so good.
It's going to be a girlfriend's night for me and my friend. Yay. She's a big Francine fan. So yeah, we're looking forward to that.
What a gift for you to have, like, somebody you look up to pour into you, but also just, like, walk alongside you.
Yes. And she, oh, man, she is just the greatest. If Francine is down to earth, and she is nothing, you know, she could be, but she's not. You know, she's so, like I said, she's down to earth. And I think it's great how she, she's quick to support new authors, because I'm a newbie in this world, and she could have said she didn't have time, because the woman's doing movies, she's writing, I mean, she has a lot going on, but she's like, yeah, I'll read it, and I'll support her. So I think
that's great. That's really sweet of her. What is a book that you always recommend?
I like Charles Martin. Have you read
Okay,
him?
yes, I read one of his last year. Something about the thunder? Thunder something?
Yeah, that's the one set in Texas.
There was one in
Sin.
Florida. Which is the Florida one?
Oh, there's a bunch in
Yeah,
Florida.
I have read
Rain.
a couple of his.
Yeah, but his Wrapped in Rain is my favorite. And it's odd to say. I mean, I didn't think about it until I just said it. But one of the characters in that one, deals with mental health, and his name's Mutt.
I think I might have read that one. I'm Googling him right now so I can see which one I read because I can pick out the cover. He has a new book out, right? That just
Yeah.
came out. I haven't read it. That his books are one that I can get lost in and just not do anything. Send Down the Rain. That's what I read. Is that what you said?
There's one with thunder in the title. That one's in Texas. That one was the hardest because it was about child abuse.
Okay, that's not
But
the one I read. Yeah. The one I read was Send Down the Rain.
I've read every one of his. I'm a big fan of him.
I didn't know The Mountain Between Us was his.
Yep.
I'll have to read some more. A book I always recommend, and I've had her on the show and she's just a delight, is Tracy Garvis Graves wrote On the Island.
On the island.
On the
I'm gonna
Island.
write that.
And it is about a plane that goes down on this island
Ooh.
and there's two survivors. They have to live and survive on the island. It's so good. I read it. I've read it multiple times now, and I don't love to reread books, but it is so good. And Tracy is just such a delightful person. It's really great. It's a little bit. It's not Christian based at all. So it's a little bit. It's a little bit secular. A little bit sexy in some spots, but really sweet. I loved it. So and every I read everything she writes. She has a new book coming out soon that I'll jump on.
Another one I write, I read everything she's written. I read everything she's written. Let me see if I said that right. But and I actually read her books more than once. It's Sarah Addison Allen.
She hasn't had a new one in a long time.
She's had a rough time. She lost her mom. She lost her sister. She battled cancer. But yeah, I hope she can get back at it. But I love her
Yeah.
southern flair with it's magical and whimsical. But
And
I
it's
love her
like
writing.
what is her one of her books is like I'm like Googling while we're talking.
Garden Spells is the one I've
Garden
read, and The
Spells.
Peach Keeper I've read several times.
Yeah, Lost Lake. Oh man, these are all so good. Garden Spells is one I need to reread.
Yep.
Tim, because that one's all about smells, right? Is that the one
Yes,
that pulls in
and
smells?
the food will. She's a caterer, and whatever she puts in the food, it can influence your mood or your attitude.
Yeah, I need to reread that because as soon as you said that name, like I could, well, I can't smell because I recently had COVID, so I can't smell.
Oh,
It's been a long
my
time,
friend
too.
had COVID last summer and she still cannot smell.
Oh, that's devastating to me.
Sorry.
It's
Hopefully
okay.
she'll come back. But isn't that the wildest symptom?
So weird. It's so weird. And like, I try every day. Can I smell this? Can I smell this? I cannot smell. But that just hearing her name brought back that like sugary smell to me. Like that's what her name does. So good. I
I
have
love
to reread that. And Sugar Queen. Oh, okay. I'm gonna reread her books.
Now, if you're looking for an indie author, and I always have to do
Yeah.
my shout outs to my indie authors because I don't feel like they get enough. It's hard to get your work out as an indie
Yep.
author. Christina Coriell, Coryell.
Okay.
She's Southern too. I call her my author sister.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, she wrote the Backwoods series is my favorite series by her.
Okay.
But yeah, no matter what she puts out, I have to read it too.
Okay. I'm writing these all down. I'm going to link them in the show notes for all of our reading friends. One thing you told me that you would do, and we're gonna make it work just because it'll be so much fun, is my book club, the It's Time to Read book club, is going to read Under the Magnolia Tree in May when the book comes out. And you said that you'd hop on Zoom with us and hang out.
I would love to.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. I know the book club is gonna be so excited
Always
about
so
it.
fun. I went to a book club a while back and they read Lulu's, and we ended up, it was like we were all talking about the characters like they were real. It was really fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about it because our girls, our club is so sweet and so invested. And so we often, and I'm really bad at character names. Like, I'm always like, guys, I can't remember the name of this person. I can remember the names of your characters because I live just outside of Austin. and my nephew's name is Phoenix. So it's really sweet, and I'm excited for you to meet them and hang out. So, friends, if you want to join book club, there's a link in my bio on Instagram. You just click that link, sign up, get into the Facebook group, and then there'll be all the information to join us in book club. It'll be so much fun. And this is our May pick, which I never say what our pick is until I've read the book. So, May is Under the Magnolias, and you're going to love it. I've already read it.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Okay, the last question I ask everybody is, what is it time for in your life right now? We believe that there's a season to everything. The Bible tells us, you know, there's a reason and a season for everything under the sun. Right now, it's time for coffee. But what is it time for in your life right now?
You know, that is a difficult question right now. You know, because there's so much uncertainty. We don't know when we're going to be able to get outside the walls of our homes much. But I do feel like, I've not felt this way since I started the whole writing process or publishing process 7 years ago. But I feel like it's a season that's slow down on the writing and be out there more. And I think God has confirmed that, and I've prayed about it. I mean, I do have 5 other books that's not published, that's written. So, you know, there's plenty to come, but I don't feel like I need to write anything new right now. There's been a lot of opportunities where I can go to speaking engagements, and that's scary, because I'm going to tell you what, Jeanette, when I started this thing, I was like, well, as a writer, you just hide behind a computer. You don't have to be out there. You know, you just put it out there, and for some reason, my naive brain just thought people were going to read it, just like they read Kristen Hanna or Sarah Allen. They just going to read it. No. So I've learned you have to get out there. You have to be ready, willing to speak. And I don't feel like I'm the best speaker, but I always have a good time when I get there. And a lot of, you know, speaking engagements have come available just recently. So it's a season of speaking. I don't know why, because I'm not good at it, but I'm just going to go with it and try my best.
I'm excited to see that, because it will be so good. And I think you've done so much heart research for your books, and you care so much about others, which is obvious that you being out there speaking is going to bless so many of our friends.
Well, I hope so.
Be fun. For sure. Okay. Where can we find you? Where can we buy all of your 17 books? How can we do that? How can we be people who read everything you write?
Well, I mean, it's everywhere. I know my independent books are on Amazon, but everything else is with Tyndale House, and that means that they're in Barnes & Noble. Even the independent books you can order online at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart, Target, all those good places. And Under the Magnolias actually has its own website, so it'll have all the information on all the places you can find to purchase it, and anywhere books are sold, really. Awesome. Library system. Mm-hmm. The libraries have the books. Hoopla will have, I know a lot of people do Hoopla, and they're on audiobooks. So
did you read the audiobook, or did you have somebody else read the books?
Somebody else. So the more I say, I'm very Southern, as you can tell. And the more nervous I get, the more my twang comes out and my words start slurring. I remember I was at a book speaking event, and the ladies were having a glass of wine, and they offered me a glass, and I said, honey, I slur bad enough sober. No. I couldn't ask.
That's so funny.
I get nervous, and my accent gets thicker, and I don't pronounce things as I should. So I don't think I could do that.
It's a lot of reading. I don't know if I could read a novel like that out loud. I don't love reading even, but like, I love to read to my children. Let me rephrase that. But I will stumble over words just reading to my children. So one thing would be the editor would have to edit a heck of a lot, or they would just fire me, right? It's just like, thanks for your time. We're going to find somebody else.
Now, I have heard the sample of the narrator for Under the Magnolias, and she's good.
Good.
I'm excited to hear that when it comes out.
Perfect. Well, Tia, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. This was a pleasure. I love sitting to talk books, and your book was so great. So, friends, even if you're not in book club, go grab this book, Under the Magnolia. It is so, so sweet. It is so good, and it just it'll just make you happy. It just, like, warms your heart, and these characters stay with you. So, a gushing recommendation from me on this book. So, thank you so much for using your creativity in this way.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Y'all, I just love chatting with T.I., and her heart for chasing our dreams is so, so incredible. And I just loved her soft and prayerful reminder, just don't let me get in the way. We can do so many things for God's glory. We just have to remember to get out of the way. Remember, if you want to join us for book club, sign up now. It'll be a really fun way for you to jump into our group. You can do so by clicking the link in the description of the podcast, or like I said before, you can go to the link in my Instagram bio. I'll talk to you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.